never rests. What a time to be alive is right. Oh my God. I can't believe anybody's alive after last night. That was quite a show. And welcome into the Georgia Show, guys. It's Jake Roos, Jake Rowe, Rusty Mansell here hanging out with you. All hands on deck show, because that was an all hands on deck game, guys. That was one that I don't think anyone will soon forget. Georgia 44-41 over Tennessee. 9 straight wins for the Georgia Bulldogs over the Vols, a sentence I never thought I would get to say in my life. The longest such winning streak in the history of the rivalry for the Georgia Bulldogs. And this one, you don't draw them up much better than that, guys. That's all the passion, all the energy, all the things that make college football great. That's what we got to witness in Neyland Stadium yesterday. I know you guys were both there. Rusty, take me back through it, man. What stood out to you? What caught your eye on this one, man?
All I know is I might rat anybody out, but the guy sitting beside me had worked on an edit for about a minute, and he had Tennessee winning the score. So I'm just going to say, I'm not going to say who that was sitting beside me, but I looked to my right, and I saw a Sun Heist edit, and I was like, what's going on here? Next thing I know, I saw my man go, X, he went out of that edit. So
I already had it downloaded.
Won't rat anybody out on that one, but man, just a wild one. You know, I mean, one of those games, you know, sitting there with Jake and all of us doing things together and you know, guys, friends of ours on the beat, and you just go, God dang, can this team find a way to win this game? And the way it's unfolded, how crazy it was. And you know, I'll say this, when we're inside the press box there, you can tell it's loud, but it's hard to tell. I've been in Knoxville. I've sat in Neyland. I know that place is crazy, but I had a couple of friends that were there yesterday, and I kind of asked them, hey, how'd that compare last couple of trips? I was like, man, that's the loudest I've ever heard that place. When they got that strip sack in the fourth quarter,
oh yeah,
and I looked at Jake, and I said, boy, this place is unhinged right now. And that place was rocking and rolling for Georgia to find a way to get back and to win this game. That was crazy.
You know, I look at this one, man, and I got a little sad today because I grew up, Rusty, you know the 90s real well, and Roos, you know, I don't know how much of the 90s you really, you know, remember. But
How much of anything do I remember?
I really got into Georgia around 93, 94, 95, and there was no beating Tennessee during those days. Rusty and I talked about it, but Robert Edwards got hurt on like the first play or one of the first few plays of the game, goes for a long run in 95. And there was just, the wins were few and far between. And I was on the field as a guest with a recruit that I went to play high school football with when Georgia beat Tennessee in 2000. And it set in today. And I know it's only going to be probably a 2-year break. Tweeted about this earlier. It kind of makes me a little bit sad that it's leaving after this year. You know, yeah. more than likely that the every single year Georgia play in Tennessee, it goes away because of the scheduling. And I'm not here to complain about it. I'm just sad about it. You know, because that game to me is underrated. You know, I didn't grow up in far north Georgia like you did, Roos. I grew up in South Georgia, and Georgia, Florida. Game's always been huge, but I've always looked at the Georgia Tennessee game as being massive. And I don't know if it was the Hobnail boot game that really drew me in, or if it was being down on the field when that streak broke. But something about it there's something special about it. And in some ways, I'm glad it went out the way it did as an every year rivalry. But I'm also a little bit sad that you know, now it's probably going to be, what, 2028 before it's played again? And, you know, if projections are right. And I don't know. I don't love it. I don't love that. Not complaining about it. It's the way things have got to be, but I don't have to be happy about it either.
If this thing has to go on pause, that was the right way to go on pause, though. That's what I would say. You don't want to sit around holding on to that one until 2028, and that's going to be a hard one for Tennessee to forget.
Well, and obviously, too, now you have that you have the opportunity of the play. You know, both teams make the playoffs, could play again this year, but obviously, you have the playoff scenario where you have, you know, an expanded playoff format coming. So odds of Georgia Tennessee playing are not slim to none. You know, it potentially could mention. Could you imagine having to play them in the playoff? And you know, have to, I mean, my goodness. But I'll say this too, on the flip side, that talking about games in the 90s and Georgia has been on the other side of that so many times. Because if you're a Tennessee fan today, and we had one text, me and Roe today, our good buddy of ours, Texas, who's a Tennessee fan, and he said, y'all needed four things to go right to win that game, and all four things went that right. Georgia, for so many years, said, hey, if we'd have done this, if we'd have got that stop on third down, if that tip ball goes our way, or if we get that, if we get him to the ground on third down, we find a way to win that. You know, Georgia's been on the other side of that for a long, long time. But now Georgia's kind of on the other side of the team, where the other side of that thing now, where they just find ways to win. And I've said this a million times for the Georgia team, man, you got to knock them out. You can't just knock Georgia to the mat. That's a Kirby Smart staple. I think Chris Lowe tweeted it. That was a culture win for Georgia. That's how they find ways to win. They just dig deep and find a way. So, you know, I think with Georgia, you look at them and you go, they find ways. And those little things, they create those little things to get those wins. And I agree there with Cali Visions. Even the playoff night is the same on campus. It might be on somebody's campus.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, never know there, but – you know, at some point, we're all here for change, and it's going to happen. So we'll just see how this roster plays out. But when Jake tweeted that, I was thinking, man, I didn't think about that yesterday as I was sitting in traffic 2 hours trying to leave that place.
Well, one of the big storylines, I think, to come out of this game, guys, was one that I think everybody was eager to see. I won't say they were anticipating, but everyone was eager to see Gunnar Stockton under pressure, having to throw the rock around, and the kid's got a little bit of an arm, sure looks like, you know. Had a heck of a day for him. 304 yards, 74% on the day. No interceptions. Had the strip sack, which was tough. That felt like a nail, to be honest with you. But overall, man, if you had questions about Gunnar as a passer, I don't know that you have those same questions today, especially after that ball to London Humphreys, man, right in the breadbasket for him. And just an absolutely perfect one. Rusty, what did you see from Georgia's quarterback yesterday?
I mean, none of this – I've said this. I don't know – I've seen him do it. I've seen him do it on Friday nights. I've seen him do it all over the place. I had to see him do it on a Saturday. You know what I mean? I need to see is Gunnar a little bit limited – as far as, yeah, there's some things limitation-wise with him, but I also think he gives you, you know, extra, I would say, extra factors with the run game. But as far as dropping back and throwing a ball down the field, Gunnar Stockton can do it with anybody. And it started, Jake, was that the second play from scrimmage or the first play from scrimmage when he hits Colby Young on that bomb? First play from scrimmage, they come out, he unloads one, you know, so – can he throw the ball far enough? Yes, he can throw a great deep. He throws a better deep, and it's hard to say that he throws a better deep ball today than Joey Aguilar. Joey Aguilar throws a ball, it's a damn moon ball, and unfortunately, it's up there a long time, and it's hard to make a play on it sometimes. So, but Gunnar Stockton could drive the ball down the field. He can drive in tight windows. Me and Jake were sitting there yesterday. He threw a couple slants to Zach Branch, one on a fourth down and one on a key third down. I mean, those were damn fastballs, so – you know, I think he's still growing. And that was his first SEC road game yesterday. You think about that. I mean, this kid's 21 for 33 for 304 yards, two touchdowns. And I'll tell you what, guys, I went back and watched it today. TV does it a lot better than when you're there. He got the piss knocked out of him twice. I'm talking about he got absolutely rocked. And you know what he did? He got right back in the huddle. He shook his face mask off, and he was ready to go. I bumped into him after the game last night. We're going down to the locker room. He's passing by, and he stops, and I shake his hand, say congratulations. And he's, thank you, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, just who he is. You know what I mean? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And, you know, that kid right there, he's the aw shucks guy, but he battles his ass off, and you can't do that in an alpha. You can't. You heard KJ Bolden yesterday. When KJ Bolden was asked about Gunnar Stockton, he said he's a dog. He's a dog. And, you know, and all those players started talking about him after the game. They have seen it too. You know, he's got to do it on a Saturday. So I didn't learn a ton. It just kind of validated what I thought about him and what he can do. Is there ways to improve? Heck yeah. Sure. He's still got a lot of room to go. And Jake's going to get into X's and O's for Dogs HQ, and you guys are going to like it. I know some of the things he's going to talk about when he starts breaking down for HQ Plus this week. We're going to have some footage there. I guarantee you there'll be a couple of plays. But as far as Gunnar Stockton and the ability to drive the ball down the field, I have no concerns, and I feel even better after seeing it yesterday.
Ro, I wanted to read this tweet to you because I saw you responded to somebody on the board that posted it. This one from Wes Rucker, WBIR, and a long time. He's covered the Vols for a long, long time. He says, still can't believe that 4th-and-7 throw and catch from Georgia's Gunnar Stockton and London Humphreys today. In that situation, in this stadium, with that much noise, inexperienced QB, honestly, one of the most impressive plays I've seen in 25 years of covering games here. And you said that he shared those sentiments with you right after the game as well.
Yeah, I mean, almost word for word. Like I tapped him on the back as we were going down in the elevator to go down to see and talk to players. And Wes just turned around and his eyes were as big as saucers. And he was just like, man, what about that 4th-down throw? That was insane. But, you know, the thing about it is, and this is something that I've talked to Rusty about, talked to you about too, Roos, is that place was feverish several times. After the opening drive, Rusty brought up the 45-yard touchdown pass. I mean, first play of the game, Tennessee's ready to roll. Like that, over 100,000 people in that stadium are ready to rock and roll, okay? And Gunnar just puts a strike 45 yards right there. 4th down, Georgia down 21-7, throws a quick slant, puts it right on Zach Branch. Huge. Place is going nuts, and he quiets the crowd. Into the third quarter, Tennessee scores, go up 28-27. He drops back, hits Lawson Lucky for 16 yards on an out route. Stadium gets quiet going into the fourth quarter. And then the throw to London Humphreys was absolutely incredible. And I still don't know that any of those were the best play he made. The best play he made all day was right before the strip sack, whenever he threw with a guy right in his face. He hits Colby Young on a dig route to move the chains on 3rd down. And then 2 plays later, I think, is when he gets strip sacked. That was probably his best play of the day. But, yeah, I mean, listen, I've still got some concerns about Gunnar and you know, but a lot of them have been answered on from the capability front, from the playmaker front. Can this guy be a playmaker that helps you win football games, that can kind of put you on his back at different points of the game? And I don't know any other way you can describe what he did yesterday for stretches with a revolving door, but it was also a turnstile at the same time at right time. He didn't help a lot. Like he hurt him a little bit, but with his, you know, tendency to kind of bail on the pocket and get deep on his drops. But, man, he was taking shot after shot, getting out of pressure, only got sacked 3 times, probably deserved to get sacked 8 or 9, and still, you know, played winning football. And I think the encouraging part, the fun part, the part that I wish I could just, like, sit down with every Georgia fan and kind of almost have, like, a financial advisor meeting with them on this is – there's a lot of, like, little things that he can do better that's going to help him be more effective, like take the appropriate depth drop and not you know, put your tackle in a bind, you know, climb the pocket better. Those are all he did everything better yesterday than he had done the previous week. If he keeps doing that, he's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. No question about it. Look, we'll get into talking about some of those concerns on the offensive line here in just a bit for sure. Because I do think we are leaving this game with some questions. But before we do that, we got to talk about our friends at sunheights.com. You can get over there today, customize yourself a nice pair of shades, and get them at a great price. 20% off with code DAWGSHQ20, DAWGSHQ20. And that works every time you check out at Sunheights. So, look, I know it's not Christmas yet, but it's coming up quick. You want to get some new shades for a special person in your life? That's the place to go. Tons of customization options, injected polarization. They're a local Georgia business. Nothing not to love, man. They free standard shipping there. As you can see, $65 or more. A ton of new designs, always hitting the I know that Jay Grow those boxwoods. I could see you rocking the boxwoods.
Redwoods, baby.
Yeah, but Sun Heist, a great product, great folks, man. They do a tremendous job. Their customer service, second to none. And we definitely hope that you will get over and check them out. Sunheist.com, code DOGSHQ20 today. Guys, I don't think that we are walking out of Knoxville thinking that these Georgia Bulldogs got their chests puffed out and got all the answers. I think that there are definitely still some questions floating around this team. I think Jake Rowe touched on one when we talked about the right side of the offensive line. That's certainly a revolving door was the right way to put it. Still some questions, it seems, also in the secondary. A little unsettled back there. Maybe still kind of an open competition in that second safety spot as well as the cornerback spot. Rusty, I guess, talk me through those aspects of this thing, man. The right side is, for lack of a better word, it's pretty tough to watch right now.
I don't know, because I've seen sample sizes at times where he has been really efficient. I don't know Ernest Green is completely back. And I don't know, you know, talking to people yesterday in the press box that, you know, how much will he get back to 100% while he's at Georgia right now, just because of the physicality, the nature kind of his injuries, what he's dealing with, you know, He is capable at times. At times he has struggled. And yesterday he had some spots there where it just, you know, it just didn't look like him. Then you know, some of the people they've tried to put there, it just not working right now. And yesterday I didn't quite see it enough. You guys probably saw it on TV more. Going back and watching the replay, I definitely see, like, man, if I'm Gunner, I know that I've got to get rid of this thing, because if I'm one-on-one right there right now, Georgia's got 2 weeks. I will say this. I don't think Bo Hughley played great against Austin Peay, and he didn't start yesterday. But when they needed him in the fourth quarter, that dude came in. It was like a damn closer. It's like that guy that come in the eighth inning, and there's two guys on, and you need to get three outs. He came in, and he got his job done, and he got to stay for the ninth inning, basically. So shout out. You saw a very emotional Bo Hughley yesterday. I think he realized that, you know, hey, my team needed me, man. I mean, that they were, you know, I was down the list. They had to put me in, and you know, I helped them out. So maybe he carries that momentum over. You know, maybe it gives Ernest Green another 2 more weeks. I said this on the Dogs HQ board today. I wouldn't hesitate, if he's healthy, I wouldn't hesitate putting Wayne Gassen out there right now and sure. Putting Dontrell Glover beside him. You know what I mean? So you know, that's a 6'7" kid. We've talked about, he played tackle in high school. Everybody I've talked to in that building thinks that you know, he can play tackle. So, you know, maybe they get a look there. You got 2 home games. You would have Alabama and Kentucky, you know, to kind of, I mean, not ease him in, but it'd be hard to play right tackle somewhere in Knoxville and be out there and learning that with that noise factor. So neither one of those games is going to be easy, but the one advantage is you got a bye week to prepare and you're at home. So I would be interested there. Defensive back-wise, you know, there's some spots yesterday, I think. I talked to someone I trust last night on the field after the game, an hour after the game, and I said to that person, what was going on kind of early? Like, what was going on? I mean, I know they had problems with the crossing routes. They had a lot of Tennessee did a really good job there. There were some adjustments later in the game by Georgia, specifically putting Chris Cole on the tight end who knocked the ball down. I talked to Jake about that earlier. You know, they put him on his tight end, and that little crossing route they'd run all night long. You know, when they needed it, Chris Cole covers and knocks it down. Communication was a problem, specifically with the linebackers. And then the safeties made some calls. You called Ja'Cory Thomas thinking he was going to get a crossing route. Guy slips and goes straight, and he's vertical for a touchdown. So, you know, it didn't look great yesterday back there on some chunk plays, especially the one-on-ones with Ellis Robinson, Daniel Harris. You got to make a play, man. You're one-on-one. Nobody's going to help you. You're going to see even more of that now. I can guarantee you. I don't care if they were playing UAB in this next game. They were going to take shots. Now you're playing Alabama. You know the history of those two wide receiver they've got and the other one they brought in. As we get further into it, I think they got two really good wide receivers that's going to cause Georgia some issues. They're going to have to make some plays. So I do think saying all that, though, a lot of that is correctable. A lot of that communication stuff is correctable. Alabama's not going to attack you the same way that Tennessee did. A few things you can correct there. But at the end of the day, guys, if you're going to play as much man-to-man as Kirby and Glenn Schumann do, and that's what they're going to do, you're not changing that philosophy. They're going to play a lot of man-to-man with their corners, period, or they're going to find somebody that will. But, you know, if you're going to be that guy, you've got to be able to make a play. You've got to be out there one-on-one and be able to make those plays. You can't give up two bombs. Sometimes it happens. But they gave up two easy bombs for touchdowns and just can't do it.
Rusty mentioned a name in there, and I think you and I talked about it on the radio. I feel like you think that Dontrell Glover's that guy. You're on mute, Jake. Incredible. We need to start like a swear jar. We need to like – we gotta need to give you some – put some money in a jar.
My week.
I don't even know what to say, guys. I'm so dejected right now. Disappointed in myself. I would say I'm not playing to the standard, but I believe that's the standard I've set. I think Dontrell Glover's your right guard. I think, listen, as long as he practices well, I think Michael Looney's had some good reps at right guard too, but I think as long as Dontrell Glover's playing well and getting better, you've got to keep him at right guard. You never want to just give it to him. Because, that's just human nature to get a little complacent. But the instincts, the ability to lock on and stay on blocks, the body control is all incredible from him. And I thought he handled himself well. I mean, I know nobody's told me this. I know he had busts. I know for a fact. There's no way you didn't. I bet everybody up front had a bust. The one thing I do want to point out about O-line, though, guys, it is extremely difficult. As hard as it was for Gunner to step up and make those throws, it was equally as hard as those offensive linemen to get out of their stance and block on the road like that. Just looking down the line, watching the ball, and then refocusing their eyes. Playing offensive line on the road is difficult. And Andrew Thomas got absolutely baptized at Auburn in 2027. Absolutely baptized. I mean, just had his soul stolen from him by some good players, but he struggled. And that was like his, 10th start, Rusty? 9th start or something like that? Like, he had a lot of experience under his belt. He had been in that environment before, but nothing quite that crazy. Georgia took the crowd out of it in Tennessee early that year. And, Notre Dame was mostly a Georgia crowd that year, or at least halfway a Georgia crowd. So that was the first – just raucous environment he played in, and he struggled bad. Andrew Thomas is maybe the best offensive lineman in Georgia history. Darnell Wright played tackle for Tennessee and was an absolute stud. First-round pick, plays for Chicago Bears. I watched him in 2022 to the point that he was basically angled inside so that he could see the football and just laid off the snap. So I'm not ready to put a fork in anybody that played O-line for Georgia on Saturday. I know a lot of fans are. No. Let's move on. Let's do something else. Listen, a lot of you guys wanted to see London Humphreys hit the bench and never play again after he dropped the back shoulder fade in the first quarter. Thankfully, they didn't do that because he came back and made some plays. And I want to say the same thing about Ellis Robinson too, guys. Kirby made the point after the game, I thought this might be the case, and it was. Georgia's supposed to have a middle field safety on that play. Ellis Robinson's in trail technique to the post. If the guy releases up, straight vertical, it's Ellis Robinson's guy, man-to-man. If that guy runs to the post, he's in trail technique, ready to play underneath on the dig route, on the square end, on the deep over. He's ready to undercut that and cover it. Whoever the middle field safety was supposed to be there, and I think it was supposed to be Kyron Jones, they bit up, and it left Ellis Robinson one-on-one. Now, when Ellis is in that spot, he needs to tackle the receiver and make it 15 instead of 72 yards. But he did it, and that's something he'll learn. That's something that he'll kind of figure out. I'm not worried about the defense. And what's kind of frustrating is the same fans today, I feel like, that are saying, hey, this is a problem. Georgia's going to get got all year long. Alabama's about to come out here and do the same thing with the same amount of success and all that. are the same people that 2 years ago were telling us, hey, it's inevitable. You're going to get in a shootout sometimes, and you just got to be able to win those games. So, hey, you got a shootout, and you won it. At least you know you can do that. And I came into that game on Saturday not expecting the defense to play poorly. I was disappointed with the way the defense played. But I went in that game on Saturday thinking a shootout was an absolute silver bullet for the 2025 Georgia Bulldogs. Sure. Like, just shoot them right in the chest with that silver bullet, and they will disintegrate like a vampire. It was over. And lo and behold, 44-41, they made it happen.
That's Georgia, not really.
Georgia ran 87 plays, guys.
87 plays.
Georgia had 87 damn plays. That's insane. Tells you the ability. My man here, Jesse Maynard. No, Jesse. Says, you know, can't win every rep in SEC, 502 yards. You go 502 yards on 87 plays on the road with a guy making his first road start.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, they had some busts. They're still trying to work out O-line. They're still trying to. And I'm with Jake, you know. I wouldn't write anybody off on this O-line mix yet. I'll throw another guy in there too. Daniel Calhoun is kind of buried down the depth chart a little bit right now. Don't write him off. Come out of a bye week. What wrinkle does Georgia have? Because they always have one, period. They're always going to have some type of wrinkle. Who's going to make a move during the bye week? Because I can tell you this, they are about to enter about six practices where they're going to freaking get after it. And Kirby Smart is going to say this game physicality. This is going to be a physical football game. So, you know, it is going to be a bye week, but they're going to have some real physical practices. Somebody says 93 plays going off the UGA official stats, 87 plays. Georgia had 87 offensive plays. Tennessee had 70. Time possession, 50 minutes for Georgia.
Wow.
That's not possible.
Hold on.
They got that one wrong. That's not possible.
Time possession, 30 minutes, 50. So, but I will say this, third downs, Georgia 8-for-17. Georgia had 198 yards rushing, passing yards 304. They average yards of completion for Georgia, average yards of completion 13.2. Average yards rushed 3.6. You know what I mean? They did control the ball. Georgia was 5-for-5 on red zones. You know, you got to get touchdowns. They were 5-for-5 in red zones. And gave up three sacks, seven tackles for loss against Tennessee. Some things you can work on, but just some of the notes looking off the official stats.
Yeah, no, it was outrageous. I saw our score predictions this week. Nobody was close.
I've got another.
I was for the first quarter.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I've got another quick stat for you. Georgia had two touchdown drives in the second half. Two of their three touchdown. One touchdown drive to take the lead in the second quarter with the first drive, and then the drive in overtime. Georgia ran 17 plays between those two drives. 16 of those were run plays. 16 runs out of 17 plays, and they got two touchdowns out of it. Georgia could not turn to that in 2024. They just couldn't do it against anybody. I mean, maybe UMass and Tennessee Tech, maybe, but they couldn't turn to that against anybody. And hey, I mean, I know the O-line, I know right tackle struggled. I know Monroe Freeland gave up a sack. There were some wins and losses.
87 plays. You're gonna get something.
Yeah.
Odds are you're gonna give up one.
Yeah, and I know there's fans out there that want to bench guys right now. They're not going to do it. They're going to keep working them. They're going to try to keep getting them better. That's the way you run a great program. They're not going to just give up on guys. But 17 plays, 16 of them runs, and you get two touchdowns out of it. Like that's physical. That's mentally tough. I mean, you just keep going down the line of positive attributes. That's something that Georgia couldn't do last year. So I think we're seeing a little bit of proof of concept that the offensive line in some ways has improved. It's not as good as a pass protection unit as it was last year or the year before or the two national championship years, but that's a work in progress. And you know, between that, Gunner, you're still trying to figure out a way to fire the Noah Thomas bullet. I don't know if you guys have been asked, what happened to Noah Thomas? Is that on the Dogs HQ message board? Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of room for this team to grow. And they, in this offense, just hung 44 points on the road, 38 in regulation. I mean, that's certainly something I didn't think they were capable of.
If I had told – my point in saying that we weren't close on our scores, if I had told either of you, if anybody had been able to see into the future and all they could see was that Tennessee scored 41, I think every one of us would have picked Georgia to lose.
Oh, God, there's no question. And if I told you what was the stat, they had they had their average scoring drive was a minute 50, and they scored 41 points. I would have bet every – I would have borrowed every dime. Everybody on my street, I would have got some dadgum money on that. 41 points in the average score in possession, 1 minute and 50. That's what they do. You know what I mean? That's what they do. So, yeah, Georgia's got some things to work on. But, guys, don't – I mean, I'm telling you, man, that damn environment yesterday, first game of the year, SEC for Georgia on the road, my God. Just find a freaking way, man. And it was something to see in person. And, listen –
first time in a long time that crowd has been in it from start to finish.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this. When they go up 27-21, and I think they had one three and out, Jake, and I think that was a three and out. They went 27-21, and I think Tennessee had their one three and out. And I thought to myself, they've got this team. I don't know Tennessee. I don't know the Aguilar. He's kind of wore off a little bit. And credit him, they came back. But it to me, just where I was sitting, I was like, man, this – They got this crowd down a little bit. They're starting to hear the doubts. Here we go again. You know, we had to leave. They were up on Georgia 21-7. Then they were up on Georgia 38-30, and still found a way to not win that game. So, listen, you take those wins, you take that tape, and you learn. And you don't want to be playing your best ball on September the 14th. You want to be playing your best ball in December, and you want to be healthy because you might have to win four. Like Ohio State did last year. You might have to win four to win this thing. But I tell you too, now that's a resume builder for me because I think Tennessee, I don't know where they're going to be at the end of the year, but Tennessee was better than I thought they were. And this quarterback had to answer some questions. He stood there and made some big throws. And I think they got something to work with him too.
Yeah, absolutely. I think also too, you don't want to give up your 2-point play on September 14th either, but they had to get in the bag for that one. Guys, listen, it was a stressful evening. There's no question that you were jumping up and down all over the place. Have a Modelo. Calm the nerves. It's Modelo season, the official beer of the college football playoff. Crisp, light, refreshing, easy drinking. Modelo always drinks smooth. Get in, grab yourself a Modelo. And as they say, go Dogs, go Modelo.
We needed
the bye week is here.
Last night, we needed that last night in the press box.
That's what I'm saying, man.
I had a 4-hour drive that started about 10 p.m., so I didn't need anything. I needed uppers, not downers. And I told Roos, I said I'm 40 miles from Chattanooga, and I'm about to take a B complex vitamin. So.
Guys, the bye week is officially here. We said on Sunday that we would know a lot more about these Georgia Bulldogs than we would the first 2 weeks. I really don't know that we've got all our questions answered. I do think that we know that this is a resilient team and a team with some fight to it. But with the bye week here, how do they need to spend it? Ro, I'm going to start with you on this one, man. Georgia got to get back to the grindstone. Obviously, they'll be practicing, but the week off should be quite advantageous, especially where health's concerned.
No, I'm not muted. I'm just.
Oh, man. Oh, dude. Oh, man.
There we go. No, I mean, obviously the bye week is very simple at Georgia, especially Tuesday and Wednesday. They'll probably have a walkthrough or some sort of thing on Monday, but Monday will be very light, probably some corrections from Tennessee. They'll go ahead and get that out of the way. But they'll practice Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and the players will get off basically Friday and Saturday, come back together on Sunday for a lift and something, you know, that is kind of how the schedule usually looks. Kirby might change it up a little bit in the seasons with two byes. But the thing Georgia's going to do for, you know, and Rusty can correct me if I'm wrong here, but Tuesday and Wednesday, they are going to roll out a big mirror and they're going to look in it. That's what they're going to do. They're going to look at themselves. They're going to self-scout. They're going to work basically camp style practices, maybe not quite as physical. but they're going to get some young players some reps. They're going to spend most of Tuesday and Wednesday doing that. And I think that's very important, especially at this juncture in the season. Now, they didn't come out of last year's bye looking that great. You know, Alabama just went on a score fest against them in Tuscaloosa, threw some things at Georgia that they hadn't seen yet. But Georgia's going to be at home against Alabama this time. I know they'll get a head start on the Crimson Tide. But they're going to go to the doctor first and just kind of figure out, hey, what's wrong? What went wrong? What went right? Let's lean into what went right. Let's fix what went wrong. And that's just where it starts. There's more to it than that. But I don't want to step all over anything anybody else might say just yet. So that's what I would go to. We got into some of it with the concerns too.
Russie?
Yeah, I think Georgia will definitely probably tomorrow they do quote unquote a walkthrough, which is not really a walkthrough. It's a little fast-paced. It's called a run-through. Tuesday, they will get after it. It will be a bloody Tuesday practice, and probably Wednesday they will start inputting Alabama stuff, and then Thursday they will have one more practice, you know, probably not as much. These kids get to go home, so they'll get to go home. They'll get a weekend off. It'll be the first weekend they've had off since like July 20th. So a lot of those kids will get to go home, see their families, fly home, and they'll come back Sunday around 3 o'clock and it'll be on. But it's good for these kids to get away, get out this weekend and go to places. Y'all see some of these guys at games around town. And, you know, if you follow them on social media, they'll be home and doing those things. So they need a little bit of break too. But you think about it, they have literally been going since the end of July when camp started. So this will be the first time they've had any time off, Friday, Saturday, and it'll probably be good for them to see their family and friends and just get to unwind and watch some college football knowing what's coming, because when they come back, man, it is SEC wide open, and obviously starts with a huge game with Alabama.
Oh, yeah, no question about it. This 2 weeks is going to go quickly, I think. There's a lot of anticipation for what's coming down the pipe when the Crimson Tide come to town. I know I could use a bye week already, to be quite frank with you. After yesterday, I need like a bye month, to be honest with you, after the roller coaster that yesterday was. But certainly a wild day, one I don't think we will forget for some time, and a lot to prepare for, guys. We will have you covered on all things Tennessee going out the rest of this week. We've got you covered over there right now. Tons of stuff up on the site. Get over to the Dog Walk message board. Come hang out with us there. We'll have some shows this week. We'll start doing some preview stuff for Alabama as well. So there's a lot coming, guys. So get over to Dogs HQ. Come check us out. You get $1, 7 days for $1. So come over, hang with us. See what's going on, man. Because it was a crazy place last night. I can assure you of that. It was it was a little off the rails. And before we go tonight, I do want to say that we're sending some huge prayers up to an officer that was shot here in McKaysville, right very close to where I live. Mm-hmm. Captain Brantley Worley was shot on Friday night, late Friday night, and there was a full-on manhunt in town. They captured the guy last night. But Officer Worley, it was reported today by the chief of police in town that he is awake and communicative, and we are really thankful for that. So big prayers up from the Dogs HQ crew to Officer Worley, for sure. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in. We will see you very, very soon, and you can always see us over at Dogs HQ. We'll catch you on the other side. Have a great night.